Just for before we open God's Word this morning, we have a guest with us. Samantha, would you introduce your guest to us, please? Where's home, Nick? All right. Good to have you with us today. It's good to have Samantha for one, college students home, and others as well. We're looking forward to their ministry tonight. And with that in mind, just as we dismiss this morning, if I could just meet with you for about 5 minutes, just to make sure the college students and Pastor Sam and we'll meet together for just a few moments before you leave this morning. As I came to the last message that I'll be preaching this last Sunday morning of this year, a lot of times I always looked forward to a New Year's Eve service. That has not been the tradition here at Latham, but in most of my other ministries, we always had a New Year's Eve service called a watch night service. How many of you have ever been to a watch night service? All right, many of you have. They were kind of traditional in my home church where I was growing up, and then we had watch night services in my first pastorate in Michigan and carried on through to most of the churches. I have to admit, when we were down in Florida, not too many of my retirees wanted to stay up till midnight, so we didn't have a full watch night service down there, but we would go till about 10 o'clock and then send everybody home. But anyway, it was that just doesn't seem to have been the traditions here at Latham, but so I always had an opportunity to preach that one last time, usually just minutes before we went into the new year. We would have the last thing of the evening, a service, and share testimonies and music, and then have a final message for the Word of God. I still remember on New Year's Eve, on the year when it was going to go from 1999 to the year 2000, and all of the hype about Y2K. And I remember we used to always try to watch the clock, and just a few minutes before midnight, we would gather in a big circle around the church, and we'd all hold hands, and we'd sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Then we'd have a word of prayer together, and then we would be praying together as a church family, holding hands, when the new year would come in. Well, I had an assistant pastor. Many of you know him. He's in our area now, Dennis Murray. And Dennis snuck out of the group right then and went into the control room. And right at midnight, he pulled the breaker switch so that the whole thing got, you know, because there was all this hype about all of our grid was going to fail and everything else at Y2K. And so he went out and made the whole building go black at that moment, you know. And, oh no, Y2K was true, you know. And but it wasn't. But I had to think, now, what do I want to give as a final message this morning for 2017? Well, actually, you all know what I'm going to be preaching on next Sunday morning, the Word of God, the Bible, because that's the first Sunday of any new year. So next Sunday I'll be dealing with that for my first. But I thought, let's think about something we've all needed this past year and something that we will probably need next year as well, something that we will need maybe to a greater degree next year than we even needed it this year. I do believe that every year that passes, we probably are going to need this more in the next year and the coming years as we see the days getting more perilous, as we see the times getting worse and worse. We are going to need this thing that I'm going to preach about in just a few moments. We're going to need it even more in 2018 than what we probably needed it in 2017. And I think that probably in some of our minds we have a lot of different things going on that could be. Like, well, do we need more grace? Well, of course, we always need more grace. Grace is one of those things that we can never get too much of, right? But aren't you glad that God is always giving us exceedingly abundantly above all? And so grace is always there, full and free, rich. God will never withhold his grace from us. He has given us all grace, especially through Christ. But let's turn to James 5 this morning. James 5. And how many of you have made or are planning to make or have even vaguely thought about any New Year's resolutions? Any of you having vaguely thought about those? I have already begun to pray about some new things that I'm asking God for in the new year, and I don't know if I'd call those resolutions as such, but some things that I've been asking God for. But, you know, at this time of the year, when we finish up one year and we're always ready to move into a new year, it in ways becomes a new beginning, doesn't it? Unofficially, we have a new beginning tomorrow, a new year. And did any of you see the verse that I chose for the bulletin this morning? What is that? Forgetting those things which are behind, and then looking forward, then what does he say? I press toward the mark of the prize. So this is a good verse to end the year and begin a new year with. Forgetting those things which are behind, because we can't do anything about those things any longer, can we? Unless there's something we need to care for that we haven't cared for, then we can still do that. But we have a fresh start, a new beginning coming. And maybe we start listing some of those things that we want to accomplish in the new year. Maybe some things we want and are expecting and looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the birth of a new grandson in a couple of months now, you know, and so it's definitely on my calendar of events coming up this next year, and some other things that are taking place that are kind of already on the calendar of events and happenings here. James 5 and verse 7. Says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. I don't know if you took note, but I have them underlined in my Bible in that paragraph that we just read. A key word in this paragraph is patience. Five times, patience is mentioned. Guess what we need in 2018? Patience. Steadfastness in our expectancy. Patience. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just trying to get your minds working and not thinking about other things this morning. But what? Were there any prayer requests that you made this last year that you're still waiting on them to be answered? Patience. Were there any problems that you faced that you're still facing, that you faced last year and they're carrying on over midnight when it strikes and 12 with 0 minutes and 1 second, and then we're into the new year, and that problem still carried over into the new year? Patience. Are there any financial needs that you will carry over into the new year with you? Wouldn't it be nice if all these things would just completely resolve themselves at 1 second before midnight tonight and we wouldn't have to carry? But you know, we do have to carry these things on through. And with the world situation as it continues to unfold, I believe that we as fundamental, born-again people today are going to face some things, perhaps and not too distant in the future, that are going to call for much patience. Patience in the midst of trials. Patience in the midst of struggles. If certain things take place this next year and keep progressing at the speed at which they're progressing, I'm not a prophet of doom, and I'm not a prophet of any kind, but I would almost say that your pastor might spend some time in jail. Maybe. Because I'm not going to compromise in certain areas. And if I have to go to jail for it, so be it. But we might face some things. And you know what we're going to all need? Patience. Patience. Patience to wait on God's answers. Patience to wait on God's timing. Patience to wait on God's supplying in His time, when He has chosen to supply, when He has chosen to answer. We all need patience. And this particular passage is in relationship to trials and problems that these scattered believers that James is writing to, they were experiencing, these scattered new believers. They were already going through a lot of trials, a lot of problems. And because they were going through these problems, James knew what they needed was patience, and not just determination to endure, but that our patience always has a focus. And that focus is not on the problem, but on the Lord. Because this passage talks about the fact, verse 8, be also patient, establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Guess what? Well, it still could happen in 2017, I guess, but guess what could take place in 2018? The Lord could come back again. Praise God. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So we keep our eyes and our expectancy of deliverance from these problems and from all these struggles. There's that expectancy, and as we're living in that expectancy, we need to have patience. I don't know what's going to face me this year. I have no idea. There are some things. You know what? I am so glad I don't know what they are yet. There could be some situations that I'm not even vaguely expecting that may come. And so there are several things that have to take place. You know, Robert Murray McShane. Robert Murray McShane was a Scottish preacher. I have several books. I have the memoirs of Robert Murray McShane in my library, his diary, his memoirs. And Robert Murray McShane was in a group of friends one time, and he was asking those friends, do you think Jesus will come tonight? And one of them, who was startled, first said, "Why, no, I don't really think so." A second one says, "Well, really, I don't think that we have enough of the signs of his coming yet. Surely he will not come tonight." The third one says, "To say that we think Christ will come tonight could be interpreted by some as setting dates. No, certainly we must conclude that he will not." The fourth said, "I agree. Besides, there is still too much work to be done here before he comes." Then McShane quoted from Matthew 24:44. "Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." In our patient waiting, our expectancy is that in 2018, Jesus could come. And that patience is a result or a fruit of our expectancy. That patience is there because we have that wonderful expectancy. We can endure. We can endure with joy. We can move forward. Verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." So how long are we to be patient? Until the Lord comes. No time to stop. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And what that's talking about is an illustration now. We've gone into an illustration. What's a husbandman? A farmer. I was a husbandman once. Even before I got married, I was a husbandman. And I still have, anytime I can get dirt under my nails and get my fingers. Guess what I did about 4 days ago? Planted tomatoes, the seeds. I've got some tomatoes already growing. They're in a special thing where they will grow and produce and everything right in the one. It's one of these things that's an aero garden or something like that. It doesn't have any soil. It just, and so I've used it before. And so I planted some tomatoes. I've got them going and they're sprouting just about. They've been in the ground, or not in the ground, but in their little planter things 3 days now. So tomorrow I'll start eating tomatoes. No, because what do I have to be? Patient. And so he uses the husbandman here as one who is patient. The farmer is patient. He waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And he long patience for it. And in Israel, they had to have the early and the latter rain. So he's waiting through all of those times. I can remember as a child, my dad would plant wheat. Of course, it's called winter wheat. The reason it's called winter wheat is because it grows in the fall and then goes dormant during the winter and then comes back to life in the spring and continues to grow, and then you can harvest in July. Winter wheat. Other wheat you would have to plant in the spring, and you wouldn't harvest that till much later. My dad would plant it, and I always enjoyed planting something late in the fall, because you don't usually plant much in the fall, late fall here in the north. And so he would plant, and then to watch that wheat green up, and you have to wait with patience. You're going through the seasons. You're going through. The farmer is a perfect example of one who is waiting, and one who has learned to trust the dependability of God. That what's God going to do? Bring in the harvest at the right time. So the farmer prepares the sod, and the farmer plants the seed, and he waits for the rain, and he watches for the warm sun, and he watches it grow, and he, if necessary, gets rid of some weeds, and he waits, and then he is patiently rewarded with the harvest. And so you trust the regularity and the dependability of seasons for sowing and harvesting. Can a farmer ever do anything to help hasten the crop? Well, he can always fertilize and he can do some things, but he really has to just wait on the right season for it. He can't hasten it in any way. You know, my dad worked for 30 years for Fisher Body Buick Assembly in Flint, Michigan. He worked on the assembly line there for 30 years. And every late summer, there was model changeover. Now, they don't do it like they used to do it. There's not a big gap of time between models now, but there used to be where the plant would shut down for about 3 weeks, and they would come in and they would redo all the machinery and do all the presses and do all kinds of stuff, getting things ready for the new model. So my dad, it was a wonderful thing, he got that time off, but he got paid for it because it was model changeover, but he got paid and didn't have to go to work. But guess, and that was always in our family, what? What do you think? Vacation time, because dad didn't have to work, so that was automatic vacation time, but it was also harvest of wheat time, so we couldn't go on vacation till the wheat was harvested. And so we would be, my dad would be going out in the field every day and checking the wheat and rolling out a couple heads and biting the wheat to see how hard it was and testing to see if it was ready to harvest yet. And what were we doing? We had to show patience. As kids, we had to show patience to hurry up and get this wheat harvested so we can go camping together. That's what we always did on our vacation. I don't ever remember a vacation growing up that we didn't go camping. And so we have this illustration that we just have to wait like a farmer waits for the harvest. And then there's another example, verse 10. Who else is an example of patience? The prophets. It says, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. So not only are farmers an example of patience, prophets who have suffered are an example of patience. I don't know all of your work environments, those of you. I don't know how much suffering you have to go through as a Christian in your workplace. I don't know how difficult it is. I don't know how many swear in your presence or how many disregard your beliefs. I don't know exactly what you might have to face. Maybe you face some type of suffering or affliction because of your faith. If you do, let's take the prophets for an example of patience and endurance and suffering for the cause of Christ, for the cause of God. We could go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and see the whole listing there of heroes of the faith. And what was true of most of those heroes of faith in Hebrews 11? They had to have patience in suffering. Most of them were examples of patience in suffering. Matthew 5:12, when we're in there with the Beatitudes, and there's talk about Beatitudes about those who are afflicted and suffer affliction, and verse 12 says of Matthew 5, "For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And then remember Stephen in his message in Acts chapter 7 in trying to bring some guilt upon those to whom he was preaching, to bring some conviction upon them. He said, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted?" Name one that you didn't persecute. that you didn't get persecuted. And then we talk about Jeremiah, and he had a nickname. He was the weeping prophet because of his persecution. And so just like farmers have to wait patiently for the crop, and just like prophets have to wait patiently during times of suffering until God relieves that suffering, we too have to have patience. And then there's a third illustration of patience in this passage. You have farmers, you have prophets, and you have in verse 11, ye have heard of the patience of Job. How many of you would like to experience Job's problems in 2018? Not this man. You think about somebody who suffered, somebody who went through trials. The verse that always jumps out to me when I read that passage is the verse, in all these things Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wow. How easy is it for us to get impatient and charge God foolishly? Why did you allow this, God? If you're such a loving God, why did you do this? We often think those things without verbalizing them in our hearts. Here was a prosperous, God-fearing man that God set up as an example. And then Satan was allowed by God to tempt and test Job. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his friends. He lost his wealth, his health. But Job in Job 13:15 said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know what we're going to need for 2018? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We're going to need patience. Patience to face perhaps some untold and unknown situations. But along with patience, there's some wonderful byproducts. Some wonderful fruit that even patience brings forth. In verse 9, what kind of patience do we have going on there? Well, there's harmony. There's not grudging against one another. What would be a possible reason that people could grudge one another in this context? Well, maybe you're going through a trial, and this brother or sister over here is not going through the trial. That might make us be a little bit grudging against that person. But going through trials needs to produce harmony and unity and not division and grudging. Trials often put our nerves on end. Trials often cause us to try to look to someone or something to blame. But rather than blaming, rather than lashing out, rather than being on edge, what are we to do? Be patient. Establish your hearts. Don't grudge against one another. Why? Verse 9, the judge standeth before the door. You're going to have to give account for those things. You're going to have to stand before the judge. But Notice another byproduct in verse 11. Not only harmony and unity, but in verse 11, what are they producing? Joy, happiness. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Have we ever looked at our trials and said, yay, I'm happy? It's not natural, is it? It's not normal to respond to trials that way. But here, what did it say? Blessed are ye when you're going to have all manner of evil spoken against you falsely. Trials, we should be blessed. We should be happy. And then verse 12, what's a byproduct? Controlling our tongue. Don't swear by heaven, by earth, by any other oath. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Control what you say. Lest what? You come into condemnation. And the condemnation was also mentioned in verse 9. If we don't respond to suffering with patience, we have the probability of falling into condemnation. Now, that's not losing your salvation, but that's accountability. God's going to hold you accountable for your reactions. If I had planned this right this morning, I would have had Dave Mansfield have him brought up on the computer back there, the sound of a doorbell. And right about now, I would have him ring that doorbell so we could all hear the doorbell. Because what does verse 9 say? Behold, the judge standeth before the door. What's James reminding his readers of here? The Lord could come back. The Lord could come back. And maybe he's at the door ready to ring the doorbell this morning. I know none of our students at our academy would ever do this. They would never do this. But if the teacher was called out of the room for a moment, and then things got a little unruly in her absence, and then just before she comes back into the room, one student's looking out the window and says, "Here comes the teacher," and everybody straightens up. I mean, that would never happen at our academy, you know, that just impossible. But you know, do you live life like that? Do you straighten up because the teacher's about ready to come back, or mom or dad's about ready to come back? I hate to admit it, but my parents would tell us, now when we get back, you're to have this and this and this and this done by the time we get back. And we would leave it until 10 minutes before we thought they were going to be back. And then the fact that they were about ready to get back spurred us on to get it done. Nobody does that, do you? No. But do you know what should spur us this morning? The judge is at the door. He's about ready to come back. And so we need to live in this patient expectancy that the Lord's going to come back. We have to be at our best behavior because the judge is at the door. He's about ready, that righteous judge, to come in and set everything right that has been wrong. That is an encouraging thought, right? This morning, that the Lord's going to come back and he's going to set everything right that is wrong. We ought to all say, amen. But that's also a purifying thought, isn't it? That the Lord is ready to come back, and And that ought to cause me to say, whoa, if he's ready to come back, I better shape up. But you know what? That same thought could also be a frightening thought this morning. If there are some who are not ready for the Lord to come. That could be an encouraging thought to the believer and a purifying thought to the believer, but it could be a frightening thought to the unbeliever. This whole patience has as its foundation the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back. God planned it. Christ promised it. The angels have prophesied it. The apostles preached it. And one of these days, it's going to happen. It's certain to happen. So we don't have to despair. We don't have to give up. We don't have to be discouraged. Even though that second coming seems to have been delayed, it's not delayed, it's right on time. What did McShane remind his companions of? For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Dave just rang the doorbell. Did you hear it? The judge is at the door. Be patient. Let's pray. Lord, you know that I need this message. And I'm pretty certain that many of us do this morning. Because we can sometimes get very impatient with how things are going in our life, with how things are going in our families, with how things are going in our work situations and in our lives, perhaps our health and our finances, and there are so many concerns, and it's so easy to become impatient with God's timing. But may we take renewed hope and renewed patience into 2018. For indeed we believe with all our heart that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It definitely is closer now than it's ever been. We don't know when. Could be 2018. But we know whenever. You want us to be patiently waiting, living, serving until you come. Father, if there are those who are not your children today, perhaps there are some who do not know Christ. They have never placed their personal faith and trust in Christ. And to them, the coming of the Lord would be a frightening thing. They're not ready. I pray that even this day, this morning, they would by faith put their trust in Jesus Christ and his blood as the atonement covering for their sin, that they'd be born into the family of God today. Father, you know that as we pray for patience, we know that patience comes from tribulation. And so we know it's a difficult thing to pray for patience because we don't know what you might have to use to bring that to us. So I pray that we might know that grace, know the truth of bearing whatever the affliction for your glory and doing it with hope and joy in our lives, demonstrating that patience. One of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, and that's another word for patience. So develop that fruit in our lives, especially in 2018. Father, if there are needs in lives, we know that you, through your word and your Spirit, can meet those needs today. Help each one to look to you and trust you. We ask this in Jesus' name.